Now, if you'll bow your heads, we're going to run to him together. Because without him, we can do nothing. So I want to make sure that you know that he's in charge and he's going to carry us to the finish line. Early this morning, I heard Silent Night, Holy Night. And I also wrote these words because I didn't want to lose them, because they came twice. A chosen time where the golden gate is open to reveal the life of the world in a human body. He started off with a baby that will grow up like all boys, and then be exposed to his people for 3.5 years. Then he would give up his flesh to purchase mine and yours, and to make it eternal. And of which I choose to believe in him, or those who choose to believe in him. Only in this victory is death destroyed. There is no other way. Jesus, thank you for coming and loving us. Because if he didn't, we'd still be lost, and we'd have no way to get to that tree of life. Also, when I was anointed earlier, I also heard these words in my heart, loud and clear: the body of Christ is a prophetic church, and this will be for 2010, you see. That's what I heard. So I'm giving it to you because every joint is going to supply.
You're not going to be ready.
Yes, you will. He's got a whole week. Well, come on. Does he have a whole week? All right. As long as you know he has a whole week, you don't have to be anxious. The Spirit of the Lord pressed in Luke chapter 1, and there's a lot in there, but I want to start with verse 46. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Now, when she declares that she is a nobody, I'm trying to make you aware that the church, the real church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, is a nobody. And she's humble. She's ready to serve and do whatever the master says to do. And her bridegroom is ready. Those who are in the body of Christ, from a prideful standpoint and an arrogant heart, those are called spots and wrinkles. And he's going to iron them out, and he's going to wash them out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because like Mary, who is chosen, and she's aware of it, because her words reflect it. Her soul, her mind, her will, her emotions glorify the Lord. And her spirit rejoices in God her Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. You know, the servants of the Most High are not going to be advertising how great they are. The servants of the Most High are not going to offer their position as a place of glory, sitting at the head of the table to be receiving all the accolades. The servant of the Lord is going to look like Mary and Jesus himself. An average carpenter with his hammer and nails ready to work. So those of you who fit that criteria are available to him, and he will use you. Because you don't have an attitude. And if you do, he knows how to get rid of it for you. Anybody should be able to say amen on that one. All right? He knows how to get rid of that attitude. He knows how to get rid of that which would irritate him. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. I believe the church is going to say to this generation the same word. When the real church of the living Jesus comes to the forefront and the signs and wonders come about, it's not going to be anything different than it was for Mary. I'm picking on you. How many? Didn't realize it. Sorry. Verse 51, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm, meaning His power. He has scattered these who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Did you hear that? He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Well, I'm the best gift that ever came the highway. And I'm the church of the living Christ. And I'm the anointed one. And I'm your next Messiah. If you stick around here too long, if you're listening to that, there'll be something wrong with you. You hear me? Jim Jones is a perfect example of someone who thought he was a Messiah. And hundreds followed him. Why? How many followed Mary? How many troubles did she have? What was her life like? And then look at the disciples, all 12 of them. What an unbelievable calling. And as I was listening to a CD I've got, when Paul has been knocked off his horse, and the Holy Ghost sends somebody over to lay hands on him so that he can receive his sight back, what are the words that come out of that servant of God? An obscure man that lives on Straight Street. If I remember correctly. Just an average nobody in the body of Christ of that day. And he gives this word. I'm here to let you know of the things that you have read. Be prepared to suffer for me. Right? So your calling is to what? Hardships of all types. James 1, is your life full of difficulties and trials of many kinds? Rejoice. Why? Because you're qualifying. How many have had a few trials this past month? Put your hand up. Then you're qualifying. Amen? See, if you think you're going to qualify sitting on Easy Street, it's not going to happen. You've asked Him to make you a servant of His. You're going to taste of some of the things He went through. Okay? Again, 51. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Are you hearing me? He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. So much for the great message of prosperity. And I'm not against prosperity. But when God uses his people, it's usually because they're willing to give of themselves and of their substance. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Well, why all this? Because I believe you need to be aware that a lot of people would say, oh, well, if I had lived in the time when Jesus was coming, after all, every woman wanted to be the mom of the Messiah. Every Jewish girl prayed that prayer. What were they asking for? Were they aware of their prayer? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. How many have sang that song before? Put your hand way up. Did you mean it? Is he doing it? Is he doing it? I rest my case. He's answering your prayer. He loves you enough to say, okay, I'm going to answer this. I'm going to make you just like me. But I thought it was going to be a zip-zap thing, and then I would be instantly like him. Yeah, right. Not for this kid. I want you to go to verse 67. I want you to see a father who's not been able to speak for 9 months. We're talking about Zechariah. We're talking about the chosen high priest, unable to receive the information of God and the information of the angel that was sent to him about he becoming a father after many years of wanting to be. But probably couldn't keep his mouth shut. Did you ever ask yourself why Zechariah's mouth was closed for 9 months? If you look at James chapter 3, you'll find that the power of life and death are in the power of the tongue. And Zechariah got zapped by the Holy Ghost. Shut him up, but good. So that that baby could come out of that womb and not be aborted by his unbelief. But listen to his song. He's had 9 months to think about this. He's had 9 months that he couldn't sing. Listen to his song. His father, verse 67, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Say, I can prophesy. When the Holy Ghost grabs a hold of me, watch out, world. You're going to get changed. All because of me. His words are, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Notice he's not selfish. He's the high priest. He's knowing how to pray for the family of God. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Notice again, he's reminding all the people that are present at the presence of the Son that he has now received. The oath, verse 73, he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and in righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. He's declaring the light of the world to shine on those living in darkness. That's Jesus. Can't miss it. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, not in flesh, in spirit. And he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. You know, when Christ had such a welcoming committee, his cousin, prepared by God to open up a door so that when he would come, things had been already prepared. The same thing, I believe, is going to happen when the church rises to her fullness of authority. There's a precursor. There's a time of real evangelism that is about to take place in the earth. And he's going to use people that are humble. He's going to use people that have been through stuff. He's going to use people like you. Take your neighbor's hand, please. Say, Lord Jesus, we're going to agree that you've got a plan for you and me. You're going to do a mighty work in me. It's not done yet, but don't stop. I want the fire to come to cleanse all the chaff from me, the living water to wash me clean, because I want to serve you. I want to be humble before you. So whatever pride and attitude I may have, I give you permission to identify it. I want to see it. And then the grace to ask for forgiveness. Because I want to walk in this. I don't want to be arrogant. I want to be like Mary. I want to be like John the Baptist. I want to be like Jesus. I have not changed my mind. I'm in my right mind right now. And I'm not going to change my mind, Lord. Because I know my flesh. It has an attitude all its own. So I'm asking you now. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your mercy. For my neighbor. For myself. And for my family. And Father, let this Christmas season be a salvation season. For your glory. Amen and amen.